plate a potential nugget.
I'm also curious, since you've written a book on career pathways, 2 decades back, one of the things I noticed, Dan, is there's a multiplicity of pathways today compared to maybe 20 or 30 years back.
Yeah.
And I was sort of reading this book by Barry Schwartz on paradox of choice. And he says, in a world with abundance, two things happen, right? One is there's FOMO. You feel you should have done something else. And second is there's decision fatigue. Specifically on this point of FOMO, I'm just trying to see, in the context of regret, is there a difference to the way regret shows up today than, let's say, maybe it might have 20, 30 years back when the world was a lot more predictable?
So I think so. And it's a very, very insightful point because Barry Schwartz was one of the first social psychologists to write about regret. And it informed some of his work on the paradox of choice. And there's some interesting, I have some interesting quantitative data on that point. So I got like four different pathways here for you. So
fascinating. I didn't know he'd written on regret. I knew he'd written about choice. Okay.
No, he did. Barry was one of the first people to write about regret. He didn't do a lot on it, but he did some really good work on it. He's been circling this topic in a number of different ways, which I'll tell you about here in a moment. Let me take on FOMO here for a moment. Mm-hmm. So FOMO is about anticipated regret, right? All right. So you're looking for, here's what we got. Regret itself is a backward looking emotion. So what happens? You look backward in time. And you say, if only I had made that choice, not made that choice, taken that action, not made that action, okay? FOMO is actually more of a forward-looking thing. We're worried what's going to happen in the future. I don't want to miss out on something that's going to happen in the future. And so we can also anticipate our future. We can anticipate our future regrets. Now, doing that, anticipating our future regrets can be very healthy behavior if we do it right. The problem is that we often don't do it right. And here's where Barry's work is very instructive on this. Barry and others have written about two different ways of making decisions. There are people who are maximizers. They say, I am the people that McKinsey consultants have in their heads as consumers, right? They want to make the best choice for everything. And so they say, what shirt should I wear today? I'm going to wear the best shirt I can wear today. What kind of pizza am I going to order tonight? I'm going to have the best pizza I can possibly get tonight. What color should I paint my house? I'm going to find the best kind of paint and the best painter to paint my house, right? And what Barry and others have found is that maximizers are miserable. They're just miserable because you can't maximize everything. There's always going to be something better. It's a perfect way to drive yourself nuts. And that people who do something else, which is called satisficing, that is, make a good enough decision, generally are pretty happy. And so when we think about FOMO, what we want to do is that we want to actually focus on the thing. So FOMO isn't all bad, but we have to think about what are we really going to miss out on? And so when we anticipate our regrets, we can use these four core regrets and say that, I'll just take me as an example. The me of 2032, the me of 10 years from now, is not going to care about certain, like should I post a picture of what I'm eating for dinner on Instagram tonight? Or I don't want to miss out on letting people know what I'm eating. The me of 10 years from now is not going to care about that. The me of 10 years from now is not going to care about painting my house. But we do know what the me of 10 years from now is going to care about, where he will be upset if I miss out. Where I should have some FOMO, all right? And that is, did I take the appropriate risk and lead a psychologically rich life? Did I do the right thing? Did I reach out to people I care about? That, I should have FOMO about those things, the core things that we know make life worth living, and forget about everything else. And I say that less as a prescription and more as a, prediction. Because we know from this body of regrets we can make a safe bet what the me of 10 years from now is going to care about. So I'm forgiving that long-winded answer. But what you want to do And again, Barry's work is instructive here, is you want to maximize on what's important and just satisfy on everything else. So have FOMO about not connecting with people you care about. Have FOMO on not taking an appropriate risk. Have FOMO on not building a stable foundation, but forget about most other things.
Fascinating. That's a lovely way to frame it. And I should pick up on one of the terms you've used a couple of times already, Dan, psychologically rich life. What does the term mean to you?
Yeah, that's not my term. That's a term that's emerging in the field of psychological science. And what it means is that, like, what are we? So, psychological richness is a concept that has to do with we want to do things that are interesting, that that are meaningful, where we so awe would be part of psychological richness, learning would be part of psychological richness, personal growth would be part of psychological richness. Beauty would be psychological richness. Hearing a wonderful symphony, seeing a, you know, so it's things that enrich our lives in a, but not necessarily in a material way, but the kinds of things that just give us joy and meaning, and that's a catch-all term. It's an emerging term right now in the world of psychological science, and I like it because I think it captures some of what is going on with those boldness regrets.
The point that Dan makes around maximizing and satisficing also came up in a different conversation with Dr. Ashley Willens of Harvard Business School. She speaks about the notion of time poverty and how we can avoid it and links it back to the notion of satisficing versus optimizing.
And I think in general, we all fall into this maximizing trap in at least some of the dimensions. It falls out for everyone a little bit differently. Maybe you're someone who really wants to have the best pair of shoes. So you'll spend hours and hours and hours trying to find the perfect business shoe or the perfect sneaker. That's probably equally as good as some other shoe or sneaker. And maybe we should be spending less time searching for the absolute best in that consumption decision and instead satisfice and find a pretty good shoe that's pretty stylish. And there's good research suggesting that individuals in general who spend more of their time maximizing consumption decisions on an everyday basis are less happy than people who spend more of their time satisficing on the small decisions that we're all faced with on an everyday basis. And of course, as related to time, we've actually now shown this direct link. Satisficers, like the French that we studied, are better able to savor and are happier as a result.
I often notice that a lot of us transition from a context of scarcity in growing up to a context of abundance when we start working. However, our operating system is still wired for the scarcity context, and there's a temptation to maximize and optimize in everything despite the changed context. And that can cause significant discontent and happiness.